Welcome to the September edition of Ranger Rick, published by the National Wildlife Federation. I am Chris Radio volunteer Linda Lydon. The front cover of this month's magazine features a gray-headed flying fox. Five uses for bat wings. These amazing body parts have more jobs than you might think. Are you holding this magazine with your hands? Take a look at them. Think of all the things your hands can do for you. Grasp, pull, clap, scratch, and more. Bats use their wings in many ways, too. The bats in this story are Australian bats called gray-headed flying foxes. Hold your arms straight out to the sides. That's about as wide as a flying fox's wingspan. These bats are so big, it's easy for us to see all the clever ways they use their wings. Let's take a look. A bat's wing is made up of the bat's arms and hand, connected by strong skin. The bones in the wing are a lot like the ones in your arm and hand. They're just different sizes. The four long ones are actually the bat's fingers. Use number one. Of course, the main job of a bat's wings is to allow the animal to fly. Bats are the only flying mammals. Other mammals, such as flying squirrels, can glide for long distances, but it's not really flying. This flying fox has just completed a high-speed belly dip into a river to cool off on a hot day. Its tongue is out because it's just licked its fur to get a drink. Flying foxes use their hook-like thumbs to cling to and climb up trees. The smaller insect-eating bats we have here in North America often use them to cling to cave walls. Use number two. The flying fox's wings are keeping the bat dry during a rainstorm. See all those bends in the wings, in the wing bones? Those joints allow the bat to wrap its raincoat tightly around itself. The leathery skin of the wing keep out the water. Use number three, baby blanket. A baby flying fox called a pup needs to stick close to mama to stay warm. Good thing the mother has a built-in baby blanket. Those wings keep the cold air out and the warm air in. After a month or two, the pup can hang out by itself, but it won't leave mama completely for as long as 6 months. Use number four, eye shade. Bats are day sleepers, and sometimes they like to sleep in sunny spots to stay warm. Wings come in handy to keep the bright light out of their eyes. It almost seems as if this bat were saying, please do not disturb. Use number five. You will learn that flying foxes keep cool by taking belly dips in the water. They have other tricks to stay cool, by stretching its wings out. The bat below is letting the heat escape from its body, flapping its wings to fan itself. It also helps beat the heat. Bat wings need to be strong enough to lift two bats. There are so many things a bat can do with its wings. Wild brothers and sisters, great pals or real pains. Brothers and sisters can be both, in the animal world as well as in yours. Do you have brothers or sisters? If so, you have something in common with many wild creatures. Brothers and sisters, also called siblings, are an important part of many animals' lives. In some animal families, there are just a few siblings. In others, there are too many to count. Some siblings get along and others don't. Some spend their whole lives together. Others never ever meet. Let's read on for a peek at brothers and sisters throughout the animal world. Play all day. For bears, wolves, foxes, lions, and many other mammals, sibling play is a big part of growing up. From morning to night, siblings leap, chase, wrestle, and pounce on each other. Sometimes somebody bites too hard. Sometimes someone hogs the best bits of lunch. But everyone ends up sound asleep in a fuzzy pile, getting the rest they need so they can play more when they wake up. Scientists think that playing with siblings is a one way for animals to learn things they'll need to know when they grow up. Tag games might teach them how to sneak up and pounce on dinner. Play fighting makes siblings tough. Chasing each other helps animals build strong muscles so they can run fast or leap high. But scientists think maybe there's another reason for all this play. It's just fun. How many? Four of a kind if you were a nine-banded armadillo. You'd have three siblings just like you. These mammals are always born as identical quadruplets. That means there are four brothers or sisters that are the exact copy of each other. Hundreds of siblings. Naked mole rats live in a grassland of East Africa in huge underground colonies. A single queen gives birth to all the other members of the colony. There can be more than 200 of these hairless, nearly blind brothers and sisters. What happens when two come face to face in a narrow tunnel? It depends on each one's age, size, and rank. The underdog lays down so the top dog can walk right over him. Safety in numbers. In most frog species, the mother frog lays a large mass of eggs and then leaves. The tadpoles all hatch around the same time, and they often stick close together after hatching. That's because one tiny tadpole is easy pickings for a hungry predator. But when it's surrounded by many siblings, it's much, much less likely to be the one that is eaten. Getting around. Shrew caravan. Baby European shrews are tiny. They also move fast and are mostly blind. If one wandered away from its sibling group, it could easily get lost. So when a shrew mother needs to lead her family somewhere, one of the babies bites onto mom's mom right above her tail. The rest line up behind each other, baby latching onto brother or sister in front of them. And off they march, lickety-split. Sibling rivals. Sibling nibbling black widow spiders aren't exactly family types. Hundreds of babies hatch together, but the stronger ones may quickly gobble up their weaker brother or sister. Only a few of the siblings survive to grow up. This is nature's way of making sure the strongest babies have enough food to survive. The imposter. Some siblings aren't even related. For example, cowbird mothers lay eggs in the nest of other birds instead of making nest and raising their own chicks. When the eggs hatch, the cowbird chick is usually bigger and pushier than the other baby birds. But the parents treat all the kids alike, even as the hungry cowbird eats more than its fair share of the food they bring. Better together. Everyone pitches in. The more siblings a baby sea turtle has, the better. A sea turtle mom digs a hole on a sandy beach and lays a pile of eggs. Then she covers them with sand. When the tiny turtles hatch, they have to dig their way up through the sand and out of the nest. That takes a lot of energy, and one of the turtles alone probably couldn't make it. But when the siblings all work together, it is easier. Mothers helpers. For humans, it's totally normal for older kids to help out with younger siblings. Crows do this too. Some young crows stick around and help when their parents have more babies. They bring sticks to help build the nest and find food for their mother and new chicks. Friends for life. Family forever. Orcas travel and hunt together in family groups called pods. In some pods, both brothers and sisters stay with their moms for their whole lives. Brothers will leave to mate with female from other pods, but they then return to their own pods. They don't help take care of their own babies, but they do help to feed and protect their younger siblings and their sisters' babies. Brothers only. Cheetah brothers are lifelong companions. When cheetahs are first born, all the siblings do everything together. The cubs even stay together after their mom leaves. But after 2 years, each of the sisters goes off to start a family of her own. Then the brothers form a boys-only club. They all share a territory and hunt together for the rest of their lives. Which of these animals' families is most like yours? Kids to the rescue. Who will help a bunch of little birds in big trouble? Is the boy at left trying to grab the bird out of the air? Just the opposite. He's tossing it into the air to set it on the right course. Still confused? Let's read on. The boy lives on one of the small islands off the southern coast of Iceland. Heimaey. It's just one of many places in Iceland where clown-faced seabirds like the ones above come ashore to nest. In fact, about half of the world's Atlantic puffin population nest here. Every spring, the adult puffin fly in from the ocean to settle on high seaside cliffs. They use old burrows there or dig new ones. Each mated puffin pair tends one egg deep in a burrow. When the egg hatches, the fuzzy chick, called a puffling, has a safe place to grow. The puffin parents stay busy catching fish from the sea to feed themselves and their baby. By summer's end, all the adult puffins are ready to return to the open ocean, and that's where they'll stay until it's time to nest again. Meanwhile, what about the pufflings left behind? Let's turn the page to find out. Nights of confusion. Once there are no parents bringing fresh fish from the sea, the pufflings must take action themselves. Over the next several nights, they start marching out of their burrow. Their little puffin brains tell them to head towards the edge of the cliff and jump into the sea. In most places, that's no problem. They're guided toward the sea by the light of the moon and its reflection on the water surface. But on Heimaey, there's a little town just below the cliffs on the opposite side from the sea. Like all towns, this one lights up at night. The night lights confuse some of the pufflings, leading them to jump off the wrong side of the cliffs. Instead of landing in water, they flutter down to the streets of town. Puffling patrol. But don't worry, this is where the kids come in. They go out in the middle of the night to rescue the panicked pufflings. They search the streets and dark corners with flashlights whenever they find a puffling. They chase and catch it, then tuck it into a grass-filled cardboard box. Finally, the sleepy kids carry the cartons home and fall into bed. The best part happens the next day. First, they're on patrol. With flashlights in hand, these kids watch for pufflings lost in the dark streets. The next thing, two, hide and seek. Scared pufflings may hide in pipes and other tight spaces. Flashlights help the kids to spot them. Number three, the third thing, it may be late on a rainy night, but that doesn't dampen the spirit of a successful rescuer. Four, final exam. The next day, each captured puffling gets a checkup and an ID leg band before being set free. Birds in boxes. With great care, these girls carry their rescued pufflings to the cliffside. Birds in hand. This rescuer used her mittened hand to gently lift a confused puffling out of its box. Taking notes. After such a busy night, the kids wake up pretty tired. but they finally get their captured chicks over to the Puffling Patrol headquarters. There's a scientist can check over each bird, weigh it, and measure it. Then the scientist carefully puts an ID band on the Puffling's leg and enters the bird's information into record. If a banded puffin returns to the island after its first few years at sea, scientists will then be able to identify it. Pitching Pufflings. Finally, the fun begins with the pufflings tucked back in their cartons. The kids carry them to the ocean's edge. They take the birds out one at a time. Then they toss them up in the air towards the sea. The young birds flap their untested wings. They flutter and they glide till they hit the cold water with a plop and they paddle away. Free as can be, with a smooth upward toss, this girl releases the puffling seaward. Catching the wind beneath my wings. We have liftoff. Another way to release a puffling is to place it at the edge of a cliff facing the sea. Soon a little gust of wind helps it use its wings to lift up and flap away till it reaches the sea. The kids call out, "Bless, bless," to the birds, which means bye-bye in Icelandic. Puffins spend most of their lives at sea. They can fly in the air, but they use their wings mostly to fly underwater, hunting for little fish, and their wide webbed feet make a perfect paddle to ride the ocean surface. If all goes well, the pufflings will fly back to Heimaey as adults to raise babies of their own. And of course, the island's kids will be ready to go on patrol once again. It is the same as their parents and grandparents had done before them back when they were kids. The Fifth Ocean. Dive in to take a tour of Southern Ocean, a special place at the bottom of the world. A humpback whale flips its tail out of the water as it dives near an iceberg in the Southern Ocean. Quick, how many oceans are there? That's kind of a trick question because there is actually only one ocean. It covers almost 3/4 of the Earth. But that one ocean is made up of areas that have different ocean names. For a long time, there were only 4 named oceans: the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Arctic. The ocean area around Antarctica was considered to be the bottom parts of 3 of them. But now, most countries, including the United States, are calling that area the Southern Ocean, the world's fifth. In many ways, the Southern Ocean is special. It is the only ocean that surrounds an entire continent while being completely surrounded by other oceans. Along its outer border, the Southern Ocean is rimmed by a current. A current is like a fast-moving river of water. This current flows around Antarctica and is the strongest in the world. It extends from the surface to the ocean floor and is hundreds of miles wide. The water in this current is colder than the water in the ocean that borders it. It keeps the Southern Ocean super cold, just the way that thousands of animal species that live there like it. Let's turn the page to meet some of them. Big gulp. These humpback whales feed by lunging through the water with their huge mouth open. Once each has a mouthful of tiny creatures to eat, it uses its tongue to squeeze the water back out. The creatures get caught in the whale's baleen. These are plates of bristles that hang from the top of the whale's mouth. Then the whale swallows the meal. True blue. This cute deep-sea octopus is one of 16 kinds of Antarctic octopuses. It was found in water a third of a mile deep. Like other Arctic octopuses, this one has blue blood. The blue color comes from a special protein. It helps the octopus survive in the freezing cold waters of the Southern Ocean. Creatures small. The Southern ocean is home to creatures large such as whales and small such as these little guys. You might not guess that the alien-looking animal is a baby jellyfish. It drifts along the ocean, changing form as it grows into an adult. Another tiny creature, the krill, is an important food for many other ocean animals, including gigantic whales. Stargazing. This scuba diver is exploring an ice cave full of sea stars. The light above comes through an opening in the ice that seals use as a breathing hole. The sea stars make a feast of seal droppings that pile up on the bottom. On the wing, a wandering albatross lives up to its name. The bird can stay out at sea for years, coming back to land only to mate and raise young. With a wingspan almost twice as wide as an adult is tall, an albatross can soar through the sky for hours without flapping its wings. Busy mom. A mother fur seal and her baby sit on the rocky shore of an island in the southern ocean. Fur seals usually have only one pup at a time. The mom switches between nursing the baby and leaving it on shore for days at a time to hunt food in the water for herself. After getting her fill of krill, small fish, and squid, the mother comes back to nurse her baby again. Leopard of the sea. When you see its spotted coat and sharp teeth, you can probably figure out how the leopard seal got its name. It's as fierce as a leopard, too, using its strong jaws to grab prey such as fish, squid, penguins, and even other seals. Few animals would dare to attack a leopard seal. Its only enemy is the orca, feathered fisher. True to its name, the chin-strapped penguin appears to be wearing a black chin strap kept on by a strap under its chin. This penguin spends a lot of its life, about 9 months of the year, at sea, fishing for krill and other favorite foods. Chin straps come ashore for breeding season when they build nests with small stones. Penguin parade. Emperor penguins are the largest of all penguins. An adult is almost as tall as you are. After laying their eggs, emperor penguins' moms spend 2 months feeding in the ocean. While they're gone, the penguins' dads keep the eggs warm. Then the moms head back to feed and care for their newly hatched chicks. And the hungry dads will finally get their turn to go out and hunt for food of their own. This parade of penguins is just returning from sea. Heating up. Because of climate change, parts of the Southern Ocean are warming faster than almost any other place on Earth. Warming temperatures can cause ice to melt, which can cause problems for animals that live in the Southern Ocean and Antarctica. These scientists have set up instruments that help them study what's happening. The more they learn, the more they can try to figure out how to help this special place. Reader's riddles. What do you call a dog with the flu? A germy shepherd. That comes from Drew A. in Texas. What board games do cats like to play? Trivial Pursuit. That comes from Levi U. in New Jersey. What do you call a baby goat that knows martial arts? The Karate Kid. Comes from Ethan W. in Pennsylvania. What do you call an eagle that can play the piano? Talented. Comes from Diego F. in California. What did the duck say after it bought lipstick? Put it on my bill. That comes from Sydney C. in Wisconsin. And what's a beaver's favorite month to cut down trees? September. That comes from Alyssa T. in Georgia. This has been the September edition of Ranger Rick, published by the National Wildlife Federation. I am Chris Radio volunteer Linda Lydon.